Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across from me, and he is ready to fire his little pointed barbs at me the whole time.
I got a quiver full of them.
Oh, my gosh. He's ready.
And by the time I'm done, you'll be quivering.
Okay, well, brother.
That's why English is so hard to understand.
Right. How can
a quiver of arrows and you're going to quiver.
Hold the arrows. Next thing you know, you're shaking. Right. And and if you have a shake, you move a lot. But if you go drink a shake, it's not...
It's fattening.
Yeah, you shake less. So who knows? Okay, well, welcome on board, everybody. WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark, nearly open phones. We'd love to hear from you. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do, as I've done on many occasions, visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They have an alignment shop and a body shop and a parts shop and a towing shop and did I mention the nitrogen shop? They got that.
They have a nitrogen shop.
Yes, the whole building set aside. Yeah, they bought another building.
I thought maybe they had a tank and a nozzle to put it on, but you're telling me they got a whole shop. All right.
No, they think big down there. They got a whole shop with it's a great big pole barn with a tank in it and the hose and the nozzles. All right. So plus there's a little imagination added into here. But the Sunbury Motor Company, they do think big, and they would just like to think big with you, but affordable prices. They're ramping up the inventory these days, and they would just love to do business with you. Do as I've done on many occasions. Go to sunburymotors.com, build a Ford, Hyundai, and Kia all at the same time to your precise specifications, and wait till that vehicle gets down there, and then talk to the Sunbury Motor Company about a good purchase. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236.
Did you hear that the White House cut off the microphone of the president yesterday?
What?
Yes. They don't like to let him just ramble on.
Right.
But the audio feed was cut as he was posed a question by an NBC News reporter on stranded Americans in Afghanistan. As he wrapped up a meeting on cybersecurity at the state dining room, Biden dismissed the press as they continue to ask questions. However, he appeared to answer one reporter's query before leaving. NBC's Peter Alexander asked, if Americans are still in Afghanistan after the deadline, what will you do? Biden's response was, you'll be the first person I call, and then he chuckled. But they had cut his microphone off by then.
Oh, but you could tell what he said anyway.
Well, some other cameras were running, and actually they did catch him saying
it. I don't think they cut his microphone off. They probably
No, they cut it off.
They probably just turned it off because the news conference was over. You turn it off all the time.
The White House cuts off the president's microphone. Pretty remarkable.
Says Fox. Come
says Mitch McConnell, former chief of staff John Holmes.
Oh, he's pretty reliable, too.
No, his chief of staff, John Holmes. Okay. But, you know, would you think you would cut the president's mic off if he was talking? He was obviously talking to the guy.
Might be a good idea. It can't hurt anything, that's for sure.
Well, I just think it's sad, you know, that they're so protective of him.
We're stuck with another bad president. You know, it's your fault.
My fault.
Yeah, you voted for Trump. You put him in office. So this is the pushback you get.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, then it was Obama's fault that we got Trump.
Oh, yeah. People had to write.
People got tired of Obama.
Oh, that is probably
true. Liberal agenda, and they decided to put somebody else in.
Well, yeah, and I think President Trump's message to the nation, the majority of voters in 2016, was that, hey, if you're tired of the country moving forward, next thing you know, gays would be able to marry. Oh, wait, they already were. Things like this would be happening. We're going to need a different president. So,
speaking of that,
Trump promised that.
You sent me a story yesterday about a school district, and I gather you were appalled by the fact that they banned any political signs or flags in their school, and that included the gay flag, the pride flag, mm-hmm. and the Black Lives Matter flag.
Yeah, was that something we talked about earlier?
No, we hadn't talked about that, but I think we should. You have a problem with them banning that? I don't think it's a proper place for that kind of display or any. All they're allowing is the state flag and the United States flag in the school.
But they are part of the dialogue that's going on in the country. So what's wrong with just displaying a flag briefly so that you can say, okay, or, you know, if it pops up as part of a lesson, you're saying that, oh, you cannot see any symbols. Like, we don't want to show a pair of handcuffs. That might show that slavery is still
happening in the U.S. Do you remember that MAGA hats were banned by many school districts? You had no problem with that.
Well, that's a political.
Well, so is the Black
candidacy.
Lives Matter, and so is the
who's
so
the candidate the that stands for Black Lives Matter?
That was in the school. You sent me the article. Did you read it?
Right, but Black Lives Matter isn't a political movement. It's a racial diversity and equity and equality.
And how are they achieving these goals?
Inclusion.
Through politics.
Well, they do a lot of demonstrations and go to councils and schools and any place they can find a crowd of people and talk.
So suppose I wanted to bring a Trump 2024 flag into my school. Would you have a problem with that?
Trump 2024. Oh, please.
Well, would you have a problem with it?
To a school. For what, a lesson?
No, I just want to fly it.
All the time in a classroom?
Yes, that's what the school district banned.
Well,
they were flying
the
pride flag and the Black Lives Matter. A teacher brought a Black Lives Matter flag in.
No, that would be illegal. You can't display political messages. But a Black Lives Matter flag or a gay flag aren't specifically political messages. They're part of a whole global movement of Republicans and Democrats and independents
so is
and anybody.
Trump's part of a global movement toward nationalism, if you will.
Towards buffoonery. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd invite you to participate in our conversation. We have a school district in Oregon that says no political messages at all whatsoever on flags that are displayed in a classroom, and subsequently the gay pride flag, the rainbow flag and its many variations, or a flag that would call reference to Black Lives Matter.
Teacher wants to fly those flags at their home, that's fine.
Yeah, but what about during lessons about those important topics?
Well, what lesson are you going to get?
It might pop up as part of a slide.
Gay pride flag. Where is that going to come up in a lesson in school?
Well, in case you're talking about the fact that America's getting better and better and better.
So if there was a class on wokeness, maybe that would be the place to display it. Are we there
wokeness?
Yet? Are we having classes on wokeness?
What is wokeness?
Well, you ought to know. You're woke. You're always telling me I need to wake
all
up.
All right. Well, define me. What am I since I'm woke?
Bleeding heart, liberal.
Uh-huh.
A mouth foaming
person who promotes equality, diversity, and equal opportunity.
What,
oh, you terrible
what
man!
That dish, who was that great disc jockey? Oh, that was on MSNBC for years. I can't think of his name. Rob, help me.
Rob is innocent. He's shaking his head no.
Oh, he was on TV for years.
Who is this?
It was a disc jockey, one of the shock jocks. He
on
used to
TV.
Call people. Yes, he used to call people mouth breathers.
Hmm. Oh,
I know. We've got two calls. Don Imus.
Yes, thank you.
You're a mouth breather.
Two old men trying to do a talk show.
We got three calls lit up in one
hand. Work. All right, Eric, go ahead. You're first.
You're talking about cutting off the president. Heck, you guys cut me off all the time.
Right, but you're not elected by 51% of the nation to serve.
Oh, I'd be elected by my family. Oh, by the way, President Obama did not take on former President Trump because he couldn't be reelected the second time. Just fact of history there. I see the flag argument kind of in the way of what they do with school uniforms in some schools. It just cuts down on all the extra peripheral stuff. Not that we shouldn't be having some discussions in school and freedom of speech, but I can see where, okay, now I allow this flag, and then where does it stop? So I can see that point. I see that some schools have school uniforms, so everyone, you know, so they don't drag that into what the kids are wearing on T-shirts and so forth. I mean, I can see the point. A mask in school, just dropped my grandkids off at Sealands Grove. Traffic was a little heavy, but going well. I saw maybe about a third of the kids wearing masks. I think especially for the elementary school and the intermediate school where the kids can't get inoculated yet, I'm still saying we should be considering masks. A nod to Susquehanna University doing a great job of managing traffic today. Typically, this is the day where they just totally block up Susquehanna Avenue and University Avenue there, and they're doing a great job of keep getting the kids in without too much trouble. So.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, we got you.
And I just welcome any Susquehanna students who are listening, happen to be listening, call into the show. You know, let your voice be heard. Willing to hear all points of view on this show, and we welcome younger folks to call in and join in our conversation.
Nah.
Yeah, that's
the old people calling in.
That's the last thing Joe wants.
Just a question for you, Joe, and certainly you don't have to answer it because it's somewhat private. Is your son inoculated, or is he not old enough yet?
My son or my grandson?
No, your grandson.
My grandson, the 12-year-old is, yes. The 3-year-old isn't.
Okay. So, all right.
Yep.
Okay. I don't mean too positive today, but I have to, you know, give a nod to Susquehanna and doing a great job this morning. So.
Okay, we've got three negative callers hanging on here. We got to get rid of your positive stuff and get on to the negative.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Stan is next up. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Mark, you accused Joe of being the reason that we got stuck with Biden because he voted Trump into office. Really? He saved America from Hillary, as long as everybody else had voted for Trump.
Well, that could be true, too. And you also could have, Joe also pointed out that Trump's goal was to save us from President Obama. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably a national, you know, flip back from that, too.
Well, and that is exactly what's going on now, the continuation of the Obama administration that was supposed to be continued with Hillary, but she failed, so now it's Biden's job to get it done. Or his minions, the people that are his puppet masters that are pulling his strings, because he certainly isn't in control of anything. All you got to do is watch him, you can tell that.
You ever hear these stories about automobile accidents where someone was driving down the road, their car veered to the left, and they overcorrected, then it veered to the right, and then they overcorrected and veered to the left and hit a tree? That's what we have right now. We had Obama, who was pretty far left. People said, nope, this is too much, so they went with Trump, who was pretty far right. Now they're saying, oh, gee, that wasn't good. Now we're going back pretty far left again.
I don't consider Trump far right. I consider him right down the middle where it should be, where this country should be. No, Mark, where this country should be. Okay. We should have a secure border and a strong military. But right now, what do we have? Wide open border, allowing 200,000 plus illegals to cross this border and being spread across the country into who knows where. Some being COVID positive, and the man in charge is trying to force mask and vaccine mandates on every citizen now, not the illegals, the citizens. So it's let the illegals violate our laws, but we're going to put our thumb on the citizens, taxpaying citizens.
Is President Biden
that's what's
pushing
in charge now? Yes, that is Biden. That is what's going on right now.
He didn't push for a mask mandate for every citizen in the U.S.
Oh, okay. Yes, he has. How did he put it? If I could, I would, which he knows he can't. But that doesn't stop him, because didn't the Supreme Court just say that they have to reinstitute the stay in Mexico policy that Trump started to keep the illegals out of this country? And from what I heard, the DHS is going to continue to fight that order.
Well, those are two separate issues.
About Trump destroying the Constitution. What do we have going on right now?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of things presidents and legislators and congressional members wish to do that they can't do, and President Biden is one of them. He may want a mask mandate. He may want the border sealed. He may want a lot of things, but he can't do it and isn't doing it. So
he doesn't want the border sealed.
Well, he doesn't want a mask mandate either.
If he wanted the border sealed, it would be sealed.
Anyway, whatever. Okay.
He does not want the border sealed. He wants it wide open. And who knows who's coming across other than the people from Guatemala. There's a hundred, they say they've captured people from over 100 different nations crossing our border. We have no clues coming across the border. And now we're going to fly them in from Afghanistan. And they have no idea who's getting on those planes.
Yes,
they could
have...
be Taliban, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda. They don't know. They just blend in with the crowd and they rush the airport and they get on.
Well, and they have dark skin and an accent, too. So
you've
got to keep them out.
U.S. citizens.
Oh, you missed that. While you were talking, Mark was opining.
Oh, yes, and they have dark
people
skin,
have dark
and,
skin
an accent
and accents.
Too, so we can't have them coming into the U.S. Yeah, we should have a secure border. I've said it all along. And individuals who come to us from Afghanistan will be vetted and tested for COVID and all those kind of things. So
you
just have
you
to
really
accept
think,
that.
Mark.
Yeah, they're not going
really
flying
think.
From Kabul to the U.S. You know that, right?
Well, they've given us, the Democrats.
Some
are the,
of them are.
The people on the far
no,
left have given us such great things like defunding the police, which is now biting them in the posterior, and they're now trying frantically to refund and then saying, we're strengthening police protection. Well, they gutted it in the first place. You know, this is.
Right, yeah, it's Republicans' fault. Right. Remember that.
If you want a strong, if you want a good border, a strong border, you can create it. President Trump was well on his way to creating it.
I'm all for it. All right. Thank you so much, Stan. Thanks for calling in. Always,
right,
always,
thanks, Stan.
Always appreciate it. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sorry, I have a terrible mouse problem here. And not the rodent kind.
I was going to say, you seem to be infested with something. I'm not sure what.
No, my mouse is doing clicking on its own, so I have to keep the cursor off to the side or it'll click on something.
Well, we got Greg and Paul hanging, and we got 9 minutes left.
So. All right, Craig, you're first. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yep. Good morning, Joe and Mark.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Formerly known as Buffoon. You keep forgetting, Mark.
I know.
Include that vocabulary about Mr. Trump.
I'm backsliding.
Morning tirades. So please keep it civil on it. And if you're going to bash him, then please equally bash Mr. Biden on your airtime.
Believe you me, that is our speciality anymore. Yep,
well,
I agree.
It doesn't seem to be, not from you anyway.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm not a big Biden fan. I think he did some right things when he first got in, but since then, you know, if you're going to ignore a crisis, that's like having a hurricane and not sending the National Guard and the Red Cross. I mean, if you're not going to seal the southern border, that's inexcusable, so that's wrong. And it is 100% on his watch, Afghanistan. I don't know enough about, you know, precisely what the right thing would have done to get out of Afghanistan, and at least he pulled the trigger and got us, you know, is in the process of getting us out. But obviously the chaos is on his watch, so I'm not in favor of that.
Okay, well, you know, just keeping you in check with your language.
That's you're 100% right.
President.
Although somebody called President Biden a baboon yesterday, I thought, well, that compliments nicely.
No, I don't go that far in language about him either. But
okay.
It's just the idea that a little respect both ways is maybe going to help alleviate some of this stuff that's going on in this country right now, including the politicization of COVID. You know, you don't know who to believe anymore because even our health leaders are politicized, and they say one thing, and 2 days later they come out and change their story, especially Mr. Fauci. And that's the problem with this country. We've gotten away from the science, period, and now we're playing politics on both sides. So that's all I have today.
All right. It's funny that
you
Dr. Fauci is so available, considering that he's went from most trusted to least trusted, but he's the person you see out there most often.
And they now the governor is calling for the legislature to come back to Harrisburg to vote on a mask mandate for schools. You think that's a good idea or a bad one?
I think it's a bad idea in the fact that he wants to mandate it after his little hissy fit stomping act of last year playing the equivalent of a
king.
I don't want to use the word I would use for it, but he went beyond his limits of what he should have been allowed to do, and it took the citizens of Pennsylvania to rein him in. I don't think you're going to see a mask mandate again. I still think it's up to local districts to get input from the parents, and I mean the parents. They are the ones whose children are sitting in the classrooms. It's not a teacher's decision. It's not an administrative decision. It's the right and freedom of the parents to be able to make the choice on an individual basis for their students. And, you know, if they follow the science, then they'll do the appropriate thing. But, like I said, the science has gotten politicized in the national level and even the state level.
Well, you look at the anger that sort of manifests itself over this. We posted a video on our Facebook page here at the radio station of a man and woman yelling at each other at the Selins Grove School Board meeting. Mark told me yesterday it's been viewed some 270,000 times.
300,000.
300,000 times.
It's probably unnecessary for him to yell, but when you have medical professionals telling the parents their children are going to die, that is beyond reproach as far as what they should be saying either. I don't feel that anyone has the right to say that, and that's just my opinion.
And if it is going to be up to the parents, and the parents decide their kid should wear a mask, then it becomes, I think, incumbent on the school district to make sure that the kids who are wearing masks are not bullied.
Right, and welcomed.
Exactly.
All right, thank you so much, Greg. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate your call, Greg.
Paul, thank you for calling in. Good morning. You're on the mark.
Good morning, Mark and Joe. And, Mark, yesterday I wasn't criticizing your position on the border. I was criticizing the Biden administration position on the border. The other thing I wanted to talk about today was that when I first saw what I would call our surrender to the to the Taliban over there, and it showed the news media in general, the mass media, they showed it over there and showed the Afghan army as cowards, the army that we'd been training and working with, and that they left the field of battle and so forth. Then I listened to veterans and people like that were actually liaison officers between their army and our army, and I found out that we really hadn't been in a combat mission there since 2014, but the reason and how they had been fighting, and they had been very courageous, the Afghan army, over 50,000 of them have died since 2014, but they've been fighting because they were guided by our special forces. I don't know whether our special forces were watching every battle from drones or just how they were doing this, but they were calling in the airstrikes. They were telling them how to deploy their people and the armor and all this stuff. And we pulled the rug out from under that. So when the Taliban started going from province to province, they didn't have this guidance that they'd had, nor did they have the contractors keeping the equipment running. Okay, the Afghans don't know how to keep the helicopters running and all those things. There was American contracts we were paying for, but we pulled all that out from under the Afghans, and they no longer knew how to fight. And let's understand who we're talking about. There is that one of these liaison officers, I think his name is Pete Hegseth or something like that, from Fox, who I don't see all the time, but I've heard him on AM radio talking, and he said that 1 out of 10 of those Afghan fighters can sign their own name in their own language, and many of these people don't even know how to count, okay, 1, 2, 3, which we teach our little children, and so forth. And so the fact that they have been so courageous with our, you know, our guidance and our support staff since 2014, they've lost more than 50,000. I heard American veterans say that all this attitude about calling the Afghans cowards and that they don't want freedom and so forth, that this is really not fair about this. And the big strides have been made, like the education of the girls, that came over here and competed in robotics, and Americans have worked to get those girls who were interested in science and technology out of Afghanistan, and they are safe. That team that had been over here last year competing in a robotics tournament, they've brought them to America now, and they're safe. But it takes a long time before, like, their army is going to have people like our special forces that can lead the battle.
Well, remember that the people who were fighting the Taliban before was the Northern Alliance, the Kurds and people like that. The Northern Alliance may have to come back together again. The question is, will we support it? And if we do, what form will that support take?
Boots on the ground.
And they had a very charismatic leader. You remember they got blown up, there was a scam TV interview that actually was a bomb. And he got blown up. I forget his name, but I'm talking about since 2014. They have actually been holding back the Taliban, but they've been doing it with our guidance and our support, and we pulled the rug out from under them, and now our military has been humiliated that they're trying to defend this airport in Kabul, which, again, these military men that have been over there, they're saying that's like trying to defend LaGuardia in New York City.
Yeah.
And we should have never given up Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night, not even told the Allies and the Afghan Army what we were doing, and we just did it, and now our military is trying to defend an indefensible position. This is like when years ago Reagan put a bunch of Marines over in Lebanon in a hotel over there, and it was an indefensible position.
Well, I would say it's an impeachable offense to have given up Bagram Air Force Base. Hey, listen, we're out of time in this segment.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good
appreciate
to talk
it.
To you. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks for calling in. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We got an hour more of this ruckus good fun, so stay tuned. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is across from me. Mr. Rob is our fabulous producer, doing a fabulous job as always, so we appreciate his help and hard work. He's ready to answer the phone, and the way you make him work is you call 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
Jason Bateman.
Thank you. Jeez. No, I did not. I haven't
okay,
seen
well,
that.
Okay, well, you ought to watch Ozark.
Talking about Ozark. Okay, I don't think so anyway. Let's see. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please do check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line open. On the Mark's email ready to go. We got 5 emails pending, so we're going to have to get to work on those. But calls come first, so you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We got a couple of texts, so we'll read those on the radio ASAP. In the news today, a man from Union County died in a collision involving a 4-wheel ATV Wednesday morning. State police tell us 33-year-old Sean Loud of Lewisburg died at the scene of the incident in Buffalo Township, Union County. Troopers say he was riding on Black Run Road around 6:30 p.m. when the device went off the road and hit a pole. Governor Tom Wolf calling on the Republican-led legislature to return to the Capitol immediately and pass legislation mandating the use of masks in K-12 classrooms and child care centers throughout Pennsylvania. In a letter to the legislative leader, says the Democratic governor struck a note of urgency, saying many public schools have already returned to the classroom and now is the time for the mandate. Governor Wolf says just 59 school districts out of 474 that submitted safety and health plans to the Department of Education had implemented mandatory masking. But as you would imagine, a House Republican spokesperson says the chamber has no plans to return to the state capitol immediately. Vaccine mandates are pretty close to the announcements that came out from Evangelical Community Hospital and Geisinger. More from Matt Cotrillo.
Wednesday, Evangelical Community Hospital announced a workforce COVID-19 vaccination policy. Evangelical says effective October 4th, all employees who remain unvaccinated against the virus will be subjected to daily testing. Geisinger announced Wednesday all employees will be required to be vaccinated against COVID-19 by October 15th. That announcement came just minutes after Evangelical announced its new policy. At Geisinger, all new employees will be required to be vaccinated as a condition of employment beginning October 15th as well. Geisinger says an exemption process is available for employees who have a documented and very specific medical reason or sincerely held religious belief that preclude them from receiving the vaccine. Currently, about 70% of Geisinger employees are fully vaccinated. As a thank you, Geisinger said Wednesday, for those already vaccinated and those who meet the new vaccine requirement by October 15th, all non-executive leadership employees who meet the vaccine requirement or receive an approved exemption will be paid a one-time $500 bonus in late October. Both hospitals also recently reinstated masking requirements for all employees, regardless of vaccination status, and tightened visitor restrictions. Matt Catrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No, Joe, you are not a Geisinger employee. You're not eligible for the $500.
Oh, darn it.
Just because you applied for a job, which you have no intention of taking, you don't get the $500. State Department of Health announced an increase in daily COVID-19 cases, 3,400 cases for most of the state and 5,400 for Philadelphia, but that included a backlog of unreported cases. Locally, a slight increase in the number of used to around here, 56 new COVID-19 cases reported in the central Susquehanna Valley. One of former President Trump's campaign lawyers faces disbarment over a lawsuit to overturn the 2020 presidential election. CBS News correspondent Peter King has that story.
A U.S. district judge in Detroit says former Trump campaign attorney Sidney Powell and other attorneys should have investigated the former president's claims of voter fraud more carefully before they sued the state of Michigan. The same judge dismissed that lawsuit in December, saying it was based on speculation and conjecture. Now she says Powell and the others scorned their oath, flouted the rules, and attempted to undermine the judicial process. She's recommending an investigation into possible disbarment and that Powell and the others take a legal ethics course. Peter King, CBS News.
Boy, what a change of direction that is.
All right, yeah, the big lie is unraveling. And finally, Joe, you're going to be happy.
All good.
You always hear lists of the best colleges and the worst, well, I guess not so much the worst colleges, but the best liberal arts college, you know, like Susquehanna University is always at the top of that list. Well, here's a list of America's most offensive college mascots. Of course, on top of it, most of them mock Native Americans. Florida State's Chief Osceola was ranked the most offensive mascot in the U.S., followed by San Diego State's Aztec Warrior, and then the University of Hawaii's Vili the Warrior. Notre Dame's Fighting Irish Leprechaun was named fourth most offensive.
Right, I was waiting until you got to that one, and Notre Dame is firing back.
All right, but the school defends the mascot, saying Irish people had a hand in starting the school, and it is a...
Their choice.
It's a good depiction. Well, they're all the school's choice.
Fighting leprechauns certainly typify Ireland, if I ever...
Well, Vili may have had a hand in starting the University of Hawaii. You never know. You remember that
from... How about King Kamehameha? Why not have him?
You remember that from Vikings, the Vili god?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Oh. That's the only place I ever heard it. I assume that is the only reference to it. It was on TV in the History Channel. It's a Viking god. It's not Odin. It's his
Floki?
Brother. It's Odin. The god Odin. It's his brother, I think.
His brother is, okay. Earl.
Where's Wikipedia when you really need it? That's what I...
Okay. I used up 5 minutes trying to find Jason Bateman. So.
Oh, okay. In Norse mythology, Vili and Ve are brothers. Oh, they're brothers of the god Odin, sons of Bestla, daughter of Boltporn, and Bor, son of Burl.
Well, I think you've just bored the audience thoroughly.
So what's wrong with using a mythical Norse Viking mythology character as your mascot?
Well, what was the one you said was most offensive, number one in the list?
The Native American Osceola at Florida State. But it's not so much that the individual. It's the depiction, you know, the tomahawk chopping and the scalping of people on the sidelines. And
oh, they actually do scalp people down there.
That's what they say. I have not. I haven't seen Chief Osceola. I've never been to Osceola, Pennsylvania.
But there are people who have, you know, Native Americans did occasionally scalp people. So why is that such an offensive depiction? It's history, right?
I suppose you can.
And we kill Native Americans, so, I mean, Custer's last stand.
But it's sort of a caricature. It's not an accurate depiction of what the society was all about. I don't know anything about the chiefs, the Florida Seminoles, or any of those particular.
We need to grow up.
Oh, do we? Yes, yes. We have to learn that it is okay to offend people from time to time, and that we do not have to have any respect for anyone at all whatsoever. If you see an opportunity to respect someone, please make fun of them at the soonest possible opportunity.
Are you going to be going to the Shikellamie Braves game tomorrow night and demand that they get
Braves,
rid of the image of
the Braves
Chief Shikellamie?
Are strong young warriors who represent
and
Native
the image
American
of Chief
culture
Shikellamie?
Exceedingly well.
Right. And the same thing is true of the Chief Shikellamie image, if you will, that the Braves use, mm-hmm. and the same thing that the Washington Redskins used. They had a noble Native American.
I think it was probably half the word.
I mean,
the name Redskin was probably
part
of it.
The Cleveland Indians, Chief Wahoo, that was offensive. I can understand that. But, you know, if you portray somebody there as a dignified, noble person, I don't see why people should get bent out of shape about that. I get bent out of shape about the apparent drunken leprechaun ready to beat somebody's brains out that represents Notre Dame.
The Irish. Well, he's a fight, but he's an athletic.
That's a stereotype, drunken Irishmen who get in brawls.
Is the fighting Irish drunk?
Well, he looks inebriated to me.
Oh, you're just sensitive to that. I don't think he is.
It's offensive to me, Mark. Aren't you upset that I'm offended?
No. Your things that offend you are out in left field somewhere. All right. We do have some texts and emails,
right.
But we have open phones as well. 1-800-795-9565. Talking about mascots at the moment. Offensive mascots is some sort of a ranking that came out. And, of course, the Nittany Lion is a great one. So that's just a great native animal. But we also talked about...
I find the Philly Fanatic offensive.
We've been kind of talking about...
His nose is green.
We've been kind of talking about the national body politic, where President Obama gave way to President Trump, who gave way to President Biden, who's going to give way, predictably, I think, to a conservative president. And there's a lot of good Republicans waiting in the wings.
I don't think he'll make it to that point.
Oh, you don't.
There have been a lot of people who say that his cognitive decline is becoming more and more pronounced, and the fact that they're so overwhelmingly protecting the man. I mean, mm-hmm. they're cutting off his microphones. Every time he goes out, he has a list of people he can call on. When he does have a presser, he has a list of people that will call on. He never calls on somebody like Peter Ducey, who will ask him a tough question. Although he has responded to Ducey from time to time when he yells his questions out. From a distance.
Yeah, it just did over the weekend. Yeah, I thought that I thought that President Biden wouldn't serve a full term and that Kamala would get a chance to take over so that she could run for a total of 10 years in all. But during this administration, the jobs she's been given are all the no-win jobs, you know, so she can't...
Yeah, she was quoted
I don't think she's being depicted by the right or the left as being exceedingly strong.
She stayed far away from the Afghanistan situation, and she was quoted as saying, the American people aren't going to tar me with this blank excrement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and I think she was also in charge of the U.S. southern border debacle, and
She's still ours borders
right,
are.
Right, and that's obviously not resolved, so she's not going to be able to put that on her resume.
Incidentally, it's not getting a lot of play, but did you see that the new governor of New York announced on day one that they underreported 12,000 deaths to COVID to make Governor Cuomo look good.
Did you notice that we switched governors in New York and no one said anything?
Well, I think everybody just breathed a sigh of relief that Cuomo's out of there, but now he was hiding 19,000 additional or 12,000 additional deaths. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not 19,000, 12,000.
Additional deaths that weren't reported.
Right. because he
and
didn't want to look bad.
What is the total? 70-something?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the governor. She released it. She said that yesterday. And she's another Democrat, so you can't say it's a Republican lie.
It's a political lie. All right, 1-800-795-9565. So that is, this is more of the same, what we have discussed today. We also talked about a school district in Oregon where the school board banned flags that have any depiction of a body politic or sort of a citizens' movement on it, and that would include the gay pride flag and the Black Lives Matter flag. That's what they were targeting, but in the process, they banned all these flags. But I don't think they should do that. They should allow them to be depicted, particularly the President Trump's various, these blue flags with the white lettering.
So
they would be fantastic for trying to show what the Trump movement
we're gonna have these
is
dueling,
symbolized with.
We have a teacher over here who's a conservative, and they bring in a yellow Don't Tread on Me flag. And over here is a liberal professor. They bring in a pride flag.
These are high school teachers.
Yeah, so what are we doing? We're turning the schools into some political
platform.
No, I don't
mean to display in the classroom as part to show the teachers politic, but to use them in lessons. You're not even allowed to use them in a lesson.
Well, you have a lesson plan that you have to submit to your department head.
So they would see that.
So if you had some valid reason for it, I suspect it would be there. But suppose I wanted to bring in a Ku Klux Klan flag.
Well, I think you should show it.
Would you be upset about that?
Absolutely. You should show it and say this is the flag that was the symbol of this, terrible, reprehensible movement in the U.S. that was white supremacist. And, of course, thankfully, we've almost completely annihilated that from the earth.
That would get you sent to that 21-day racial equity challenge that we talked about yesterday if you brought
I think a KKK flag would be okay. So what a President Trump flag. I didn't agree with President Trump's decision making, or
but is
you know,
that his, is a school a place for
it's not on display.
Flags.
It's part of a lesson.
It wasn't part of a lesson. It was a teacher who brought in a flag, and they were told, "Don't bring them in anymore." It's that simple. If I could tell you that you can't wear
to explain the teacher's politics.
If I can't wear a miniskirt,
she supported gay pride or whatever it was.
If I can't wear my daughter can't wear a miniskirt to school, why should she be allowed to bring out a political flag?
Right, but this ban catches up all uses of flags henceforth in the future, not just ones.
No,
that
it allows the United States flag and it allows the state
that's
flag.
True. Yeah, excellent point. Yeah,
so it's not banning
everyone. Right, it has a couple carve-outs. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Strangely enough, we had all four lines lit in the first half of the show, and nobody's standing by at the moment. So call us now, 1-800-795-9565. Joe, read that, and then we'll take the break.
Okay, which one, the text or the email?
Text.
The text.
I clicked on my screen over here.
Okay.
You should have seen it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. Simple question. How are Afghans going to be vetted when the information about those people is under Taliban control? That's a good question.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. If you know that answer, how are Afghans being vetted? Call us now. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, got two calls coming in, 1-800-795-9565. Upper right-hand corner, please, Joe.
One of our emailers says, I don't understand this fear of an ISIS attack at the airport in Kabul. If the Taliban are enemies of ISIS and control the airport, the attack would be on the Taliban, wouldn't it? Would these savages unite to attack Americans and Afghans at the airport? The whole thing is very confusing to me. Perhaps once we are out of that country, the two groups of extremists will attack each other and heads will roll on both sides.
All right.
And then Doug says, hey, Eric, it's none of your stinking business.
No, that's not what it says.
Sticking business?
Sticking.
Oh, I thought like somebody meant stinking. Okay. It's none of your sticking business who has gotten the jab or who hasn't. It's unbelievable what is happening. Come into our country illegally, shoplifting, no problem. But we're going to mandate masks and getting a shot for something that we still have no idea of the long-term effects. I'm obviously not vaccinated, but I do have natural immunity. But that doesn't seem to matter, does it? It's all about getting a shot, even if it doesn't seem to be working all that great. That's signed by Doug.
I think the shot does keep you out of the hospital and, for the most part, keeps you from dying, although not completely.
How do you not completely die, just out of curiosity?
Well, I mean, some people who have been vaccinated have died. It's a very low number. But the vast majority of people who get in the hospital or die are the unvaccinated. They get it worse. And that's what the vaccine does. It tries to keep you out of the hospital and tries to help keep you alive. All right, Joseph, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yes, you gentlemen discussing the flag. I'd like to express my opinion about that from a believer's point of view. Okay?
Okay.
Yes. As a believer or as a Christian, you cannot divide your affiliation between two things. A house divided cannot stand. Okay? First of all, to pledge the allegiance, put your hand over your heart, and you pledge your allegiance to the flag. And I've been in many Christian churches, and in one they pledged allegiance to the flag, and then they turned to the other hand and pledged allegiance to the Christian flag. And you'll see in most churches a United States flag and a Christian flag, right?
Oh, you definitely see the American flag. I don't know what the other flag is if we have one in the front of our sanctuary.
Well, most churches have a Christian as kind of a blue flag, I think, with, I forget, a cross order or something. And then they have the United States flag up there behind the pulpit. Most Christian churches do. Now, my point is this. As a believer or as a Christian, you are supposed to be an emissary of another country. You are an ambassador, okay? So I cannot, as much as I love this country and for what it basically stands for, I cannot put my hand over my heart and pledge my allegiance to a flag that will protect abortion clinics, protect homosexuals, and all these terrible things that the people in black robes, them nine people, have said are high judges, distorted judges, have said is perfectly right and legal. Okay? And I can't have my devotions divided as a believer. And it's very specific. The scripture is very specific about this in Psalm 74. Anyone can look it up. Look it up, Psalm 74.
Right, but Joseph, Joseph.
In the midst of the congregation,
Joseph,
they set up their end signs.
Joseph, you get
signs. End sign is a banner.
Joseph, you are protected the same way. Your beliefs are protected by these same nine wise men that you're downplaying. They protect your rights too. So we all have to learn to live in this country with one another, whether we agree with what people are doing or not. I mean, this is a free land where you are allowed to make the choice. It's not a religious society. We're not the Taliban here. We're a secular society, and we're governed by secular laws.
Nothing can do, okay, as a believer. And most Christians should go along with that, because if they read your Bible,
I don't think
they would
me.
Understand that they are heavenly ambassadors of
talking.
The heavenly kingdom, which is soon going to come to rule over this earth with power and a rod of iron.
Did you happen to hear what I said to you?
You were cutting out there.
Oh, yeah. What I said to you was that these same laws, these same nine wise men in this country
and
protect
women.
Your rights, too. They
and
protect
women.
Your rights.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I said I appreciate this country, but what they have done is went against the scriptures in these things that I had mentioned.
But we're not governed by the script. We're not
homosexual men marrying men and women marrying women.
We're not governed by the scriptures in this country.
I know that. I realize that, but I'm trying to put that out there so Christians would realize that the framers of this Constitution were basically all Freemasons who were deists, as you said, one of you said, and they believed in a deity, but not the deity of the Bible. Of course not. Because of the things that they represented and their lifestyle in a lodge. If you worship the master of the lodge, you address him as a worshipful master. And no one can say that of any man.
All right, we got
George Washington was the master of Lodge 22 in Alexandria, Virginia.
All right.
So he accepted those accolades.
All the way back to Afghanistan.
If you remember the old Amos and Andy show, there was a character named Kingfish. So maybe we should.
Oh yeah, old Kingfish. Yeah, Kingfish.
He was ahead of the lodge. He was ahead of the lodge too. So, but you know, I think that you know, I understand your great religious zeal and you're entitled to it. But I mean, I look at it this way: the courts have to protect me from you and you from me. In other words, I don't want to impose my beliefs on you. You've come down on my church before on this program, and we've said that that's not going to be acceptable anymore. But, you know, you're entitled to your belief. But you can't impose your belief on me, and I can't impose mine on
Maybe
you.
Maybe that's the heart of the U.S. situation, the fact that we don't impose our will on other people.
To flee out of Babylon. Out of these false religions.
And I'm trying to get you to flee out of your false religion then by telling you what I believe about mine. But I can't change your mind.
Did you read that book I wrote and give you?
I glanced at part of it. I haven't had a chance to read it.
If you can find anything there contrary to Scripture in that book, let me know, please.
All right, will do.
I would appreciate that. It isn't that big a book to read, you know what I mean? It's only just a little booklet, 50-some pages.
Well, it didn't appear to be all written by you. It appeared to be written things that you assembled and put together.
Well, I want you to check out the facts that I quote, which would be the Scriptures, okay?
Okay.
I don't quote my opinions. I quote the Scriptures.
You quote the Scriptures. Yet,
I don't take them out of context.
What is the name in the Bible of the Savior? It's Jesus in every Bible I've ever seen, yet you don't call him that.
In the original writings, it was Yeshua.
Well, then why is it Yeshua? Well, how did we get that wrong?
I've never said this phrase, but Joseph is right.
From the Indo-European root system, if you follow the translation, in fact, I have a word-for-word reprint of the first King James Bible, 1611, in my house, and the name Jesus is not in that Bible. It's I-E-S-U-S, and pronounced in 1611, the authorized version, as Jesus.
Then Joseph.
But that's not correct either.
Joseph can't be right.
What Father gave Gabriel to give to his mother to name him.
Joseph can't be right either, can he?
After the Father, Yahweh, Yahshua. In other words, that means Yahweh is salvation. Yah is salvation.
All right. Well, then Joseph can't be right.
Salvation.
Never mind. Joseph can't be right then either,
you
right?
Now stop it, both of you. Knock it off.
Joseph can't be right either. I mean, that has to be some different name.
No, it's not. It's actually, in Hebrew, it's Joseph.
Well, Joseph is Yahweh in the Bible.
There's no J in Greek, Hebrew, or Latin. Okay. There is no great J in Greek, Hebrew, or Latin.
Fair enough.
And the consonant J didn't exist until 1569.
The bottom.
Invented by a printer called Gil Bays. If you look at your history up, you'll find that out.
Enough.
And that's why the letter J is not in the first King James Bible.
All right, we got
Jerusalem is spelt with an I. Jesus.
Thank you.
anything I had a J in is spelt with an I.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Joseph.
Thanks
for calling in.
Well, I mean, the bottom line here is that we're a country that is governed by laws, and those laws protect all of us.
Supreme
in other
Court
words, you have the right
everybody.
To disagree with me. You have a right, and I have a right to disagree with you.
I certainly respect that. That's why I won't pledge the flag, because of the abhorrent decisions that have come from the right.
It's so his right. It's his absolute right to do that.
Idea.
And I think that it's great that we live in a country that protects his brand of religion and my brand of religion.
Joseph in the Bible is Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Okay, Yahoo, yes. And
that
disciple.
Sounds like a Wild West movie.
Disciple is dim bulb, if you ever follow this.
Dim bulb?
Yes, because they just don't get it. All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our pastors says, in all the many passages where the disciples don't quite get what's going on, she says that the disciple is Greek for dim bulb. All right, 1-800-795.
That's a sense of humor.
We're talking about dim bulbs, not just Joe and I, but others too. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We were talking about mask mandates. Joe thinks it's a bad idea to have a mask mandate in schools. I know it's a good idea.
No, I didn't say I thought it was a bad idea. I just said I think if they're going to require it, I think the parents should be the ones that make the decision. I agree with that, but then I think the school district should make sure that
should
the kids
support.
Don't allow the kids who are wearing them to be bullied.
All right, we'll be right back.
Is
It's ridiculous.
The sublime versus ridiculous. Okay, that's Joe and my conversation off mic.
You asked me what the quote was.
Right,
I answered.
Right, I forget. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Bob, very patiently waiting through the break. Go ahead, sir. You got an open mic. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but Blake is a racist. He couldn't even pledge allegiance to the flag because of gay people. Where does he live at? The Bible was written millions of years ago.
It's not because of gay people. It's because the flag stands for a country where the high court has said that gays are permitted to marry and exist in the world. And as a result...
And abortions. You left out abortions.
And abortion. Those are abhorrent in his view, so he won't pledge that flag. I have respect for that. I mean, I don't agree with the decisions that went into it, but... I certainly think that that's his prerogative.
There's nothing illegal about it. I think he needs to go pray for his sins.
Well, I think the point that I would make, and I did make to him, is that this country protects everybody's rights. It does. It makes an effort to protect everybody's rights.
As they are interpreted at that time.
Right. So you have the right to be what you want to be in this country. And, you know, I don't like it when people don't pledge allegiance to the flag because they think that there is racial inequality in this country. I don't like the fact that Joseph won't pledge allegiance to the flag because he feels it's the Supreme Court made bad decisions. I mean, this country still has given us all everything, in my opinion. It's given us the chance to succeed. It's given us freedom. It's given us liberty. And the Constitution, well, what is it? The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not the Constitution. Bill of Rights, right. Our Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, thank you. We'll think of it. White-haired guy, what's his name?
Thomas. Tommy Jefferson.
Anyway, go ahead, sir. We digress.
Well, people like that, most gay people be afraid to come out and express who they are. Do you know what it's like to hide who you are your entire life? It's like being treated like an animal. It's very disrespectful.
Well, did Joseph specifically say gay marriage? Or
yes, he did.
Yeah, not just the fact that gays exist at all, although he doesn't agree with that lifestyle.
No, he expressed homosexuality and gay marriage. Men marrying men is the way he put it.
Okay. Well, but...
You know, it's 2021. And as far as I'm concerned, you can take a Joe Biden flag into school, too.
Boy, if you're talking about politics, I think if you wanted to talk about 2020, you'd do well to have a flag from President Trump and from President Biden in the class. And they were symbolic of, although Biden flags aren't really a big deal, but they certainly are symbolic of what happened. All right. Thank you so much, Bob.
Just for the record, Bob, there's something wrong with your phone. When you start talking, we can't hear you.
Yes.
And then after a few seconds, it clears up. So I don't know what that is.
I got T-Mobile.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay. All right.
Try a landline.
All right. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting a short time. Go right ahead.
I'm on a landline. Do I get extra credit for that?
Yes,
you do.
Absolutely.
Excuse to get rid of it.
That plus this recommendation, go to Dunkin' Donut, give them $2, and they give you coffee.
so
it'll work.
Okay. I want to change the subject, if that's okay.
Sure.
I had not ever given thought to prison gerrymandering. And then I saw in the paper this discussion that the people who are going to reallot the political districts in the state are going to have agreed not to use prison gerrymandering. And what that meant was, for example, that Lewisburg got all the population. I don't know if it's Lewisburg, but Union County would get all the population of the prisons up there. It would count in as people present in the Union County. Now they'll lose all that. And I think this is interesting, and should maybe the census process be rethought that prisons, instead they will be counted back to their home, wherever you were considered, whatever your residential address was at the point that you were arrested and convicted and imprisoned, that's where you'll be counted as a person, not in the county in which you're imprisoned.
Well, maybe we should go back to the old civil rights thing, counting them as 3/5 of a person.
Well, I just wonder, shouldn't they do that with the census itself? Now, this rule that you would be counted only applies to people who are in prison.
Right.
Right? That they're counted back at their home, at the district where their home is. And this also makes me wonder this. What do they do then with people who are not residents of Pennsylvania, but who are physically present?
You get jailed here, well, especially in the federal prison system.
Well, I think you can make...
Right,
you
but
can
then
make,
does you, that mean they don't count at all in Pennsylvania towards that seat? They'll just set those people aside, whatever, however many there are of people who are not residents of Pennsylvania but committed crimes and were convicted here. What will we do with those people?
I think you'd have to make the argument that to the extent that these people use the municipal services where they are, that municipality should be, whether it's a county or a city or whatever, should be reimbursed to whatever extent that they use the services. If you argue that someone in prison uses no services, I think you'd be hard-pressed to make that argument because, you know, they have to bring roads in or food in over the roads that have to be maintained by the municipality. I mean, they're just, the fire protection stands by for them at the prison the same as it stands by for us at our homes. So, I mean, I don't think it's entirely fair to say that you have to count these people back where they live when they are, in fact, using some municipal services where they actually are.
I think that's a good question.
Well, but I don't think congressional representation is there to help determine that you're spreading the load in terms of costs associated with supporting a community. I think a congressman is, or congressman or woman is supposed to support your interests and your rights, and your home congressperson can do that, whether you're from Ohio and jailed in Pennsylvania or whether you're from, you know, Sunbury and jailed in Cole Township. I think as long as the census catches you, you know, if you get sent to Camp Hill for 20 years from Sunbury, let's say, well, you're long forgotten about in Sunbury. How is the census going to capture that?
That's one of my questions. I mean, if we're going to say that, then you would have to be counted in Sunbury.
Somehow,
right? Just
yep.
Like that's what they're doing with this reapportionment, you know, the redistricting, which isn't just for the federal government, remember, Mark, it's also for the state, for mm-hmm. the state house and the state senate. So, you know, I'm just wondering how will they handle this? How will you handle refugees who really aren't residents at all?
But you're still going to be counted. In other words, if Union County is still going to have a congressman, they're still going to have a state representative, still going to have a state senator. The mm-hmm. question is, you know, whether what the larger area is, they won't have as much impact as they would if they counted all the other people. But still, you're all going to have that representation.
Right. You're going to get represented somewhere, but it makes a big difference. If you read the Spotlight article,
right.
I believe that's the one that was carried locally, it's crazy. One-third of the county in, Fulton County or Franklin County, someplace,
right.
are prisoners.
Right. Forest. Well,
that's not,
Forest
I don't
County.
Think it's Fulton
they have
Franklin.
A state prison. Well, Forest County has one stoplight. You know, they're very rural.
They have the light.
Right, and that's probably their major, if not only... you know, serious business is the prison system.
Federal
there.
Prison, right.
I think this also means, then, should we change the demographics as reported about Forest County, for example? What are the demographics of the people that are in prison? And if we remove them as a count, that county, then should we also remove all of that? So, for example, then you would say, let's say that it's largely black residential, but there's a lot of white people in the prison. You know, oh, well, there are no white people in Forest County because we've reallotted them back to Pittsburgh and Philly and, you know, wherever they came from when they got stuck in that prison. I just think it's an interesting question. Are we going to do this for only one issue in one small segment? But otherwise, those people will still be counted as being residents. And the U.S. Census counts them in Forest County.
Right.
Even though one-third of the, even though those prisoners are not in the thinking of the Reapportionment Commission, they are not residents of that county.
Well, I just looked at their population. It's a little over 7,000 people.
Right.
Now, is that, how many of those are prisoners?
2,000.
Huh?
Yeah, 2,000. 2,300 or something.
Yeah, it was surprising, frankly. It was really surprising.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
Well, I, that's not true just for them. I immediately thought of up here in Union County. Don't we have a big prison up here in Union County?
There's four prisons in federal prisons in Union County.
Well, think about that. Take all those people out of the county, right? They're gone in terms of census data. Isn't that an interesting conundrum?
Well, and
how I think it becomes administratively untenable. You know, now how are you going to reapportion these people back to their home district? And what if they had none? What if they were homeless? Like I said, what if they were refugees?
Well,
they have no.
They would
residence.
Still have a town of residence. You know, if you're homeless and picked up, you know, on Route 11 in Snyder County, your home county is going to be where you're counted because that's who jailed you. I mean, if you committed a crime while homeless, you're still tethered to that home county that jailed you.
So they would get to keep those people in the count.
Right, but I don't know what county. You know, it goes down to municipality. Maybe they'd count you as Middleburg because you might be held at Middleburg
well,
for a time.
Well, those people are short-term, you know, in
well, it doesn't
general,
differentiate.
Short-term.
I didn't detect in the article that differentiated between federal
no.
and state. Just said inmate.
No. So not that I noted. It was just talking about prisoners. Anybody in jail would be a lot, is what I understood, would be allotted back to the county, and then I thought, well, what about the people that come from New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland? They're just wiped off the books because they don't have, you know, you can't reapportion them back there. We're not doing their their redistricting,
right.
only our own.
If I'm given a life sentence and I'm serving it in at Lewisburg Federal Penitentiary, I would say I'm going to be a lifelong resident of Union County.
Yeah,
well,
but not
I believe,
really.
For example, that there is a Lakota Sioux man who was convicted in the wounded knee of killing a federal officer who is imprisoned there in Lewisburg. Now, he's from South Dakota.
Okay.
So
all right.
Is he just, what happens to him? And the other interesting question, I mean, I'm just asking these questions. People are making up these rules, and I just want them to have thought through all these rules that they've
chosen. Yeah, maybe they did. I didn't even know they were working on this.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. I have another question. Three babies
well, we have
now,
to go.
Three babies have been born while being evacuated from Afghanistan. So what is their country?
Their nationality.
You're usually assigned the country in which you're born in. So what is their country?
Well, not all countries.
The plane was flying over.
Not all countries do that. Most countries do it. You're the mother's nationality.
Oh, but I didn't know that,
yeah,
Mark.
Interesting. Yeah, this has been asked and answered.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
this
you.
Came up over the weekend. I think,
did
yeah, three
really?
Babies is the latest count.
But it's a good question, don't you think?
Right.
I mean, somebody had to make up this rule.
Well, considering
that we have these people with little else to do but think of these things.
And considering that the mother's primary task right now is to get to AMSCRAE out of her home country, so it should be interesting.
All the right. irony of it, yeah. Thank right. you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We'll have time for one more caller. We got one standing by, but I want to tell you about a vehicle that I have driven and is wonderful. 2021 Ford Ranger. It's yellow. It's down at the Sunbury Motor Company right now. It's a four-door with a 5-foot bed, and it's got what all the new trucks have, and this sync device with the app that you call it the Ford Pass that you have that lets you start and stop and use your vehicle and check it and determine things about the vehicle using your smartphone. Of course, you can turn it on with your smartphone as well. You can use the key fob for that, but it is just a super vehicle. It has electronic locking differential, so suppose you are going to do some four-wheeling, put it in four-wheel, lock the rear wheels together, and then they stick together no matter what, through thick and thin. It is just a super-duper truck, but it rides like a wonderful car. So, yeah, the 2021 Ford Ranger, 24 miles a gallon on the highway, but you can get it up to 30 or so for short times. I've done that. And the price after discount's about $40,000, so it's reasonably priced, and they would just love to move that truck at the Sunbury Motor Company. Do as I've done. Start that ride at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. Mark Lawrence. Chris is, upper right-hand corner,
right,
please.
This is one of our emailers. Says, I wish you would stop cutting off callers when you allow Chris so much time to rant. I know your station does not like preaching about religious subjects, but at times, Joseph knows a lot of history that actually is interesting. That's certainly more interesting than listening to about 10 minutes of why In God We Trust offends Chris. Why pick and choose? 3 minutes is the limit, and that is the time limit and applies to all.
We don't do that. Joseph was on for 8 minutes.
Actually, we've explained to people before that it depends on the volume of calls we have and whether or not the person is on topic or, I guess, making sense.
Right, and we've been giving most callers 4 minutes when somebody's waiting. And Chris is wondering, but nobody's waiting.
And you gave Sydney about 15 minutes.
No,
going on about those endless questions about various things that seem very simple to me, but... And by the way, the gentle lady of Sealands Grove should know that Leonard Peltier has been transferred to Florida several years ago.
All right. Noted.
That's
what else?
Probably who she was talking about. And to find out what's going on with that, you have to ask, who is doing it?
Who is doing what, Chris? What are you talking about?
Who is deciding that who wants the prisoners to count who's their home state? Is this for voting purposes?
No, it's for congressional redistricting purposes.
Yeah, well, that's voting, basically, right?
Not really.
No, not really.
Democrats is it the governor or the Republicans that came up with this?
It's the Democrats.
I figured as much. Because it would seem to transfer certain things to Democratic states. Democratic areas, they go back to count as Democratic areas, and they might get the money as well. I'm not sure whether it changes how the census works or not, and that money there, but I can't see really any advantage in it for them, so I'm a little confused by that, but I saw less advantage in it for the Republicans, so... Hard to figure.
Well, there was a Spotlight article that just came out. My understanding, I didn't see it in the Daily Item, but my understanding is that the Daily Item carried it, so you should be able to find it there. We use the radio shorty excerpt on our website.
But there are, I think,
and
Chris...
I hope that you all noticed what happened with that judge's ruling with Giuliani and the other 8 lawyers who have presented the things that they've been recommended for disbarment hearings.
Yep, we did.
And
we reported on that.
It was all trash, and their excuses for not having disbarment hearings were even more trashy.
Well, we did discuss that. We had that on the air.
If you look into the incredibly poor lawyers they were and how they were deceiving the court, the Michigan guy who they needed the signature for claimed... He read the 800-page report in the hour before it was due in court and signed it. And he was the one that they needed to have a signature of because he was the only Michigan lawyer.
Well, maybe he's a speed reader.
808 pages in 1 hour.
He may be a speed reader, Chris. He may be a speed reader. Hey, we're out of time.
I'm sure that's it. That was his excuse for signing such a terrible thing, though.
We're out of time, Chris. Thanks for calling.
That's not a good excuse.
Thanks for calling, Chris. We're out of time.
Joe's expiring. Thank you, sir, for doing a wonderful job this week. We'll see you Monday morning. This is WKOK Sunbury.